And welcome back to Not a Single Bother with me, Aislinn Dowling. I hope everyone is well. In light of Aislinn Murphy tragically being murdered at 4 p.m. while out for a jog just the other day in Tullamore, County Offaly, I really wanted to have a discussion about this. It's been playing on my mind massively, and I had actually planned on doing an episode like this further down the line with somebody from the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, but I just couldn't not talk about it now. I'll still be getting in touch with someone from the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre and do that episode, but for this one, it's just going to be me. Firstly, I just want to say that I am so, so sad for Aislinn, for her family, and for her friends, and I can't even begin to imagine what they're feeling right now. And at the very least, I hope they get justice for what happened to her. This kind of thing should not happen to anybody, man or woman. And I think that everybody, particularly women, have been affected by this horrible news, because it just emphasizes how unsafe women can be while just simply living their lives. It wasn't that long ago that Sarah Everard was murdered by a police officer when walking home. And the thing that gets to me is that it's only talked about because a girl has died. Like, why does somebody have to die for an issue to be addressed? Last week, there was uproar about some statement that Molly May said, and I actually could not get over how bothered people were, how much coverage it got, and how many people were discussing what she said in great detail, when there are actual issues that you could put your energy into, like so many more important issues, but people were so bothered about that, and it really annoyed me. This is something that should get the same amount of coverage, the same amount of chatter, and things need to be changed. So according to the United Nations data published in 2020, 6 women are killed every hour around the world by partners and family members. 6 women every hour is 52,000 women who have lost their lives at the hands of somebody they loved and trusted. This figure represents 80% of murders of women and girls that happened in the year 2017. Violence against women and girls is a pandemic in itself, which has been overshadowed for many years, and it needs to end now. We need to teach boys and men in our society that it's not okay. Obviously, it's not all men, but it is men, and we also don't know which men. I can understand, though, why men, especially those who have never done anything weird, they might not get it or understand it or even feel that women are being a little bit overdramatic, because they've never experienced the same things that we have. And if they and their friends have always been respectful and whatever else, then they wouldn't know what we're talking about, because they would very rarely, if ever, see it. The same way men have experiences that I don't have and maybe don't understand. So I can, to some extent, understand why some men would be like, what are you talking about? Because how would they know if they've never experienced it? Do you know what I mean? Before I go on, I want to say that I am by no means a man-hater whatsoever. I love every man that I have in my life. My dad, my brothers, my uncles, my cousins, my boyfriend, my friends are all absolute gents, and I don't want it to be misunderstood in that way. As I said earlier, it really irritates me that these issues are only ever brought up when something extra sad happens, like a life has been taken. A third of all women and girls experience physical or sexual violence in their lifetime. That's according to UN from 2019. 42% of women in Ireland have been victims of rape or sexual assault, and that only counts for the ones that are reported. Among Dublin Rape Crisis Centre clients, 1 in 5 women have been assaulted by their partner or ex-partner. 67% of girls in Ireland were subjected to online violence. 21% of Irish people surveyed think that sex without consent is okay in certain situations. Mind-blowing. Who are these people? 35% of female students and 25% of non-binary students have never disclosed sexual assault. It's so sad that the normality of life for women is to never go places alone, never walk alone at night, always let somebody know where you're going. text when you get home, make sure you don't lose your friends on a night out, afraid to have earphones in when going for a walk or a run, and the list honestly goes on and on. Like, my mom and dad would always say those things to me when growing up, and even now, if my mom sees me out walking in the dark, like if I'm FaceTiming her, she's freaking out. It's awful that when we walk alone and pass a guy, or worse, a group of guys, that you're filled with anxiety and that they will say something weird to you, especially when you're done up for a night out or something. And that's not me being cocky, because as long as you have a pair of boobs and a vagina, some men will do or say something creepy regardless. Doesn't matter. Honestly, literally, pair of boobs, vagina, get ready for it. Like, the list is honestly endless of all the weird scenarios and creepy comments and actions that you are almost just numb to because they're so common over the years. And I know that every single girl in the world knows what I'm talking about and has experienced it. Even Dennis has noticed things at times, because I'm a weirdly fast walker. So sometimes I'm walking ahead of him and he has seen lads being weird or making comments or just staring. Like, what's the story with the staring? What's the story with the staring? But then when he catches up to me, then it's a different story. Like, they look away, or they won't be long shutting up then when he's right beside me. So it's just really interesting to see the difference between how men behave towards you when you're alone or just with other girls versus when there's a lad with you. The way that women are treated in Ireland is just not good enough whatsoever. I'll give you examples of messed up stories that my friends and I have in a little bit. But unfortunately, these stories are extremely common, and I'm sure too many women will relate to them. But before I talk about them, I just want to chat about how Ireland deals with reports of cases of physical and sexual violence against women. I've heard so many stories over the years, in the news and not in the news, of women who have reported rape cases, and it ended up being nothing but a complete waste of time and energy, and reporting it ended up just adding more trauma to their lives. The amount of cases that are reported and that then go to trial has increased over the last few years, which is good, but the figures are still extremely low. As low as 14%. 14% of rape cases reported to the Gardaí actually end up in court. That is insane! There is no help for women who report the cases. Like, you only need to listen to a story like Holly Ryan, which you can listen to on the Good Glow podcast with Georgia Crawford. You can listen to this full story there, where she speaks about her attack as she came back from a night out with friends at around 11 p.m. on the Lewis. She was sitting on the Lewis and some guy sat right beside her on a basically empty carriage, and she felt uncomfortable and moved, and then he sat beside her again. So she was very uncomfortable on the Lewis. They both got off then at the same stop, and she waited back until he left, like that she could see that he was gone. And then she started walking home, which was literally meters away from her stop, like her house was around the corner. Then when she started walking home, the guy ran at her he came out of a housing estate, ran at her, attacked her, knocked her to the ground on top of her. I'm just giving you a short story now, you can listen to the full one on that podcast. But thankfully her parents came out of the house and scared him off. But when the guards came to the house for her to report this, the guard looked at Holly's dad, not her, and asked him, did he think Holly had too much to drink tonight? I'm sorry, why is that even a question? What difference does that make to literally anything at all? How is it relevant to the information of a man following her and attacking her? Please explain the relevance of whether her dad thought that she had a lot to drink tonight. Do you know what I mean? Like, would they care? Would they care if she was drinking, if she'd been murdered? Would they care then if she was drunk? Would that matter? Would that have any relevance then? Anyways, then Holly went to the station to make her statement the next day, and the guards were gathering the information that they needed, which included what Holly was wearing, which is fine, like, that's obviously just information that they need. But then she told them that she was wearing over-the-knee boots, and the guard told her that if he writes that down, that it's not going to help her case. That was not him. She said that was not him being judgmental. She said that was him trying to protect her from an absolutely warped justice system where they could use that against her. So that was him helping her, being like, knee-high boots, no, sorry, like, that's basically going to be used against you? Like, so you're telling me that if me or one of my friends are out minding our own business and happen to be wearing knee-high boots, which I own and I love them, that I may as well just not waste my time in reporting it because it'll be used against me? Is that what you're telling me? Like, how was it ever relevant, and especially now in 2022, what a woman was wearing when a man follows and attacks them? Please explain the relevance. I should be able to go out in my bare arse from head to toe with no clothes on, and nobody should approach me or touch me, let alone attempt to fucking rape me. Like, yeah, I'm aware that in an ideal world, we should be able to do a lot of things that we can't do, right? But for this to actually be used against women in court is just, honestly, I cannot wrap my head around it. Like, this case was literally in the last 2 years, by the way. That's what I couldn't really wrap my head around, that it's still happening today. Do you know what I mean? I know that a lot of people as well are also saying she was going for a run in Aisling Murphy's case to prove a point that you literally can't even go about your basic daily bits without being in fear. And then I've seen a lot of people say that by saying that, it devalues other scenarios where they are doing something else. Like, for example, it doesn't matter if a woman was working as a prostitute, she should not be attacked or murdered, and her life should be valued the same. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get what people are saying in that, like, oh, she was going for a run. Like, you literally can't even do your basic bits and you have to live your life in fear. But I do get that it kind of devalues other women who are in different careers, or, you know, just different scenarios. The same as this, like, the same goes for this. It doesn't matter if you're coming back from a night out in your knee-high boots and are going for a run at 4 p.m. in the day, you should not be attacked. You should not live your life in fear of some man coming up and attacking you. Do you know what I mean? But I absolutely understand what people are trying to prove with the hashtag "she was going for a run." In 2018, there was a case of a 27-year-old raping a 17-year-old in Ireland. In the trial, the defence lawyer told the jury, this was a quote from her, "You have to look at the way she was dressed. She was wearing a thong with a lace front." The 27-year-old man was not found guilty of rape shortly afterwards. Like, are you having a laugh? Like, are you honestly having a laugh? This, his senior counsel, Elizabeth O'Connell, said, "Does the evidence outrule the possibility that she was attracted to the defendant and she was open to meeting someone and being with someone? You have to look at the way she was dressed. She was wearing a thong with a lace front." So I wear lace thongs every day of my life. So I'm inviting fellas to rape me. So that's what they're saying. That's literally basically what they're saying. That is so unbelievably wrong. So obviously wrong, yet it hasn't been changed. It's still a thing. Like, you're still allowed, they're still allowed to discuss what a girl was wearing in a rape case. Like, this is what really bothers me too. Like, it's wrong. It's been addressed numerous times, but nothing has been changed. There's calls for change right now since Aisling's tragic murder. But when will we actually see change? Like, we can all agree that it's wrong. So why is it allowed to continue? There's no opposing argument as to why discussing what someone is wearing should be allowed in court. Therefore, sign whatever needs to be signed today. I do not understand, when there's protests and all this shit about an issue that the majority of the country are in favour of, and we are still waiting for the change. What's the hold up? Discuss it, sign it, whatever needs to be signed. Like, there's no need for a discussion. I don't know much about politics or law or whatever, but when there is something, when something is a matter of urgency like this, then what is the hold up? It can't be that hard. Like, hurry up. I don't understand it. Like, we would probably still be waiting two years time. Do you know what I mean? Like, that case was in 2018 and there was uproar after she held up the knickers in court, like, held up the knickers in court. That was 2018. It's 2022 now, and not one thing has been changed. If that was to happen again in the morning, there'd be nothing wrong with it. Like, I don't understand why you can't sign off on something tomorrow. Like, honestly, explain it to me. Like, there needs to be an end to rape culture. Stop victim blaming. Don't ignore 999 calls. It shouldn't take for someone to be murdered for action to be taken. A teenager recently was attacked by two 18-year-old boys, which led to her being hospitalised, and the boys got bail of €200. So that's the standard, so, for punishment for violence against women in Ireland. That's the standard. It's like €200 bail. I'd pay more for a fucking parking fine here in Australia. Like, I'm laughing because you honestly have to laugh. You have to laugh or you will cry, because I have already cried this morning when I was preparing for this. Like, you would get more for a parking fine. Two boys attacked this girl, so much so that she ended up in hospital. Regardless, doesn't matter if she ended up in hospital or whatever, they attacked her and they're getting €200 bail. Oh yeah, Grant. They'll never do that again anyways, because that scared the shit out of them. Like, do you know what I mean? €200 bail. I'm sure they're petrified to never do something like that again. Everyone is saying we need to teach our boys. We need to educate our boys. We need to teach our boys, which is amazing. But I saw a comment the other day under an article in my local newspaper online about legalizing pepper spray in Ireland. Also, first of all, so pepper spray is illegal, but you can talk about what knickers a girl was wearing in court. Like, that makes all my sense. But anyways, so this woman commented and said, "Let's teach our boys. Seriously, what kind of stupidity? I'm pretty sure most parents do their very best for their children, brackets boys, to grow up to be the best people they can be, not to be murderers or even rapists, thieves, addicts, etc." Right, so this woman sounds like someone who thinks that her child could never put a foot wrong in life. Her child is God's gift to the world and the apple of her eye. Obviously, nobody intentionally sets out for their child to be a rapist or abuser or a creep. But I'm sure all of the parents of the creeps that me and my friends have come across since we were teenagers think that their sons are respectable, lovely young boys. But unfortunately, they're far from it. We can barely talk about the birds and the bees in Ireland, not to mind speak about consent and not treating women like objects. So yeah, I think a few more conversations need to be had. People need to call out weird behaviour and start asking questions. Like, what is wrong with encouraging a little bit more education on things anyway? Like, the worst thing that's going to happen is you improve a little bit as a person. Do you know what I mean? Why? Where's the neggy vibes coming from? Like, what's the negativity about educating your son? It's so stupid to get angry at someone's, at people encouraging a little bit more education. The worst thing that's going to happen, girl, if you want to educate your son a little bit more, is he might improve as a person. So what are you complaining about? Honestly, like, really annoys me. Anyways, my friends and I were chatting there before Christmas. This was just jokingly. We were out for a few drinks and, you know, the way you just be asking questions, getting conversation going. And we were just chatting about what our worst sexual experiences were. We were just thinking, like, this is just going to be a conversation about funny one-night stand stories and stuff like that. But we actually ended up talking about some mess-up things that have happened to us at the hands of lads that I'm sure many people think that they are sound, they're legends, whatever else. So, when I was 15, I have a little bit of anxiety now telling these stories because, like, my mom's going to listen to this. But anyways, when I was 15, I really fancied this guy who was 21 or 22 at the time. And I thought, like, he was so cool, so funny, whatever. All that typical stuff when you're a teenager. So we used to message each other a lot. And he asked me, was I a virgin? And obviously my answer was yeah, because I was 15 years old. And then he used to, like, shame me for still being a virgin. Be like, what? You're still a virgin? Like, he always used to say, like, you're still a virgin. Yeah, obviously, what do you mean? I'm 15. Like, what do you mean? Why? How's that a surprise? I'm still a virgin. I'm 15 years old. Like, that's not that surprising. Just used to say, like, what the hell and how come and all this kind of shit. And it used to make me feel so paranoid and as if I was like a loser because I hadn't had sex. Anyways, he was arranging to meet up and basically take my virginity, and this was going on for a while. And for some reason, it never ended up happening, even though it was all planned out. Like, he was going to pick me up at X place and X time, but I'm not sure what happened. I don't know, that maybe he realized, like, what the hell am I doing? This girl's 15 and I'm 21. Maybe, don't know. Then we didn't talk for a little bit and he messaged me again and we were chatting and he said again, so are you still a virgin? Anyways, it never ended up happening, thank God, but what kind of messed up behaviour is that? Like, 21 years old trying to shame a 15 year old for being a virgin and then using it to manipulate her to have sex with you, like, fried. If I heard that happening now, like, I would, like, if I... Do you know, even if when I was 21, like, you're an adult, like, you're old enough to know exactly what you're doing. There's no excuse of, oh, he was 17 or he was 18. You're 21. You have a brain in between the 2 years. You know exactly what you're doing. To a girl that's 15 years old, like, it's disgusting. Anyways, another story. When my friend was 15 or 16, she fancied this guy who was also 21, 22. Again, thought he was... Can I also just say that these guys were in the same group of friends? So, same behaviour, because they obviously all convinced themselves that it was okay to do. But anyways, whatever. Again, so yeah, so she thought he was cool and whatever, blah, blah, blah. So was delighted to be hanging out with him. They were together at some house. I think there was some house party or something happening. And they were kissing and it started to get a bit heavy. And she was a virgin. So she told him she didn't want to have sex. And he kept going and said, trust me, trust me, trust me. And so he continued and had sex with her. And then he left the room beaming because he had just had sex with a virgin. Like, a 15-year-old virgin. Like, that by definition is rape. And neither of us say anything about either of those stories because, first of all, we didn't realize how messed up they were until we got older. Like, it was years on until we were like, what the fuck was that about? Like, that was insane. Like, that is so beyond messed up. Another story was, I was away in, I was in a different country and I went out with my friends. And I got so drunk, like, blackout drunk, and ended up going home with this guy that I knew of. I didn't know him personally, but, like, lots of mutual friends, you know, in that kind of way. Went back to his shared apartment and had sex with him, but didn't remember it. Like, you know, was literally blackout drunk, but knew that I did, but didn't remember it, you know, that kind of way. But that part was fine, like, whatever. He wasn't bad looking, so I was probably happy enough to have gone back with him. Anyways, then in the middle of the night, I woke up with him on top of me, trying to kiss me and trying to wake me up to have sex with him again. And I was like, no, 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 like, I need a condom, need a condom. And then he starts getting angry and was like, we didn't fucking have one earlier. Getting angry with me, like. So I think, anyways, he fucked off. He went away. It didn't happen. And he woke me up on top of me, kissing me, trying to get it going again. And, like, I didn't even, he was like, oh, we didn't fucking have one earlier. Those were his words. Like, I didn't remember a thing from earlier. Also, he didn't say one word to me in the morning, like, not one single word. The most awkward encounter I have ever had, waiting for my friend to come pick me up because I didn't know the area. Then I was telling my friends what happened. They were like, what the fuck? One of my friends said that she had seen him before on a night out, literally hanging off this girl that we know who was sideways drunk. And my friend told him, fuck off and leave her alone. And was like, she's too drunk. So obviously it's something that he has done. Sorry. It's something that he has done on the regular, like, goes for the drunkest girl in the room. Bearing in mind now, each guy in these stories, everyone thinks is a legend, sound skin. I can only imagine the denial if these stories were made public, but I wouldn't waste my energy. And they all have girlfriends now as well. Another story on a smaller scale was this guy that I chatted to briefly, met me on a night out and we were just talking, whatever. And then he kept saying he wanted to come home with me, and I was like, no, no, no. Like, literally said no, like, 10 times. Then I was leaving, and he was like, I'll share the Uber with you. I'll drop you home. I won't ask again. I'll just drop you home. Anyway, stupidly, I said, right, grand, just to shut him up, really. And then we got to where I lived. Like, he knew where I lived, anyway, in case people were thinking, well, that was stupid. Like, he already knew where I lived. And I was getting out, and he kept asking again, can I come in, can I come in, can I come in? And then he said, please. He started saying, please, please, please. And then I felt so pressurized and nearly guilted into it at that stage. Like, I felt like I was nearly doing something wrong by not letting him in. And it was a mutual friend too, which makes you feel even more like, oh, you know, like, he's just chancing his arm. Sure, he's friends with, like, X, Y, and Z, whatever. No, like, how many times do you have to say no before you leave me alone? Like, leave me alone. I've said no 400 times. Like, you should have taken it the first time I said it. Anyways, I don't mind telling these stories, and my friend gave me the okay to tell her story as well, obviously. And trust me when I say that these stories are scarily common. Dennis even said the other day that his friend was telling him that all of his girlfriend's friends have had close encounters with rape. Like, that is a fact. Same with my friends. Another one of my friends was spiked when she was on a college night out. Like, these stories are endless. So to say that you don't think there needs to be, at the very least, a few more conversations had with boys and men about how they behave, the things that they say, the things that they see, and let slide. Well, I'm sorry, but you are deluded. Like, this is at the very least what needs to happen to prevent this shit from happening. Then there needs to be actual punishments put in place, and women need to be listened to, and it needs to not reach the point of somebody dying for change to be made. Larry Murphy repeatedly raped a woman, locked her in the boot of his car, drove to the Wicklow Mountains where he repeatedly raped her again, and attempted to murder her until two hunters came across them. And just guess how long he went to jail for? 10 years. 10 years. He is out and about. I don't know where he lives now. I think he might live in England or something. He literally almost murdered a woman, violently raped her numerous times, ruined her life, and he got 10 years. That's the standards that we are setting for if you do wrong to a woman in Ireland. Like, I'd say you probably get, there's fellas that probably get more for selling a bit of fucking weed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've had this conversation before with Dennis and my friends as well about, like, if I was raped, would I report it? And my honest answer was, I don't know if I would bother. And I'd say a lot of people would think the same, because it's not that I wouldn't bother my arse to try and stop him from doing it again to somebody else, but the risk of going through a whole case to be shamed, made feel embarrassed and disgusting, and possibly not even believed, and everyone knowing and discussing it, and then the possibility of what it was wearing being part of the discussion, and then after all of it for him to just walk away scot-free anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, why, what's appealing to me about that scenario to report being sexually abused or sexually harassed or raped or anything like that? What's appealing about the situation there to go ahead and do it? Like, and as I said earlier, only 14% of cases that are reported even go to court anyway. So I'm going to go through the whole rigmarole of giving statements and blah, 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 for nothing to happen anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, what kind of sad state of affairs is it that the thing that is put in place to protect you might make you feel the complete opposite, and lots of women just feel that their best option is to not bother reporting it and just move on with their lives? Like, it's disgusting. Okay, so I think that's everything I have to say on the matter. But just as we're talking about women's safety, there is a missing woman called Bernadette who was last seen on the beach between Malahide and Donabate at 12:30 p.m. on January 7th, wearing all black clothing and black and white Nike runners. She has long black hair, hazel eyes, sallow skin. She's 5'6" and she is in her late 40s. Her daughter Jade is pleading with anyone who might have any information who can help in any way to please do so by contacting the guards in Swords. You can have a look at her Instagram, which is at jdbaby338, to share her posts or just to get updates on ways that you can help. I really, 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 really hope that Brenda is found safe and well. If you have been affected by any of the things that I have talked about in this podcast, please don't feel like there is no help available. There definitely is help available. It may not be the justice system and it may not be the Gardaí, but there are plenty of charities and organizations that are set up that are really, really helpful. So you can contact the Dublin Rape Crisis Center, you can contact Women's Aid, and I'm sure there's lots of local facilities available to you, whatever town that you're in, but you can contact them and they are super, super helpful and help loads of people that are in the same situation as you. If you want to help, if you're feeling like you want to help in some way, obviously there's lots of things going on in Ireland at the minute, like protests and vigils and all that. But you can also text ACTION to 50300 to donate €4 to Women's Aid. And again, I just want to send all my love to Aisling's friends and family at this tragic time, and may she rest in peace.